The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here is your host, Aldana Ambler.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. And for those of you who are new to the program, we have new listeners every week. We rotate through different growth strategies each week, and we're aimed at the mid-market companies, those of you who are between 20 and about 200 million. Most of our listeners are at the $20 million mark and are looking at 200. So the kinds of growth strategies that we talk about, 1 week it'll be geographic expansion, and the next week it might be strategic alliances, and the next week it's IPO. This week we're doing a slightly different program, and we're talking about, okay, you're going to be growing your company through these various stages. What do you need from your board of directors? Because it isn't just you and it isn't just your management team. You need a solid board of directors to make this kind of passage. So what I want to start with before I introduce our guest is my observations about what I'm seeing in growing companies, because I've been a growth strategist for 34 years. I see some patterns about what happens when the CEOs start to look at board of directors. Now, here's what I see. And it goes to the plateaus, it goes to the walls, it goes to the chasms, whatever you call them. There's some tough points in the growth of a business where it's not your imagination. It really is harder to grow through those levels. One of those levels is back at $1 million. I mean, for most of you, that's back at $1 million. But for some listeners who are listening in and wishing that that's where they were and are planning for where they're going, that's good for you. $1 million is a plateau for a lot of people because, you know, they can't imagine having that much volume. It really is an incorporated career. And think about who's on your board of directors when you're really only shooting for $1 million. And right there is the mindset that I see gets people into trouble that you can still see remnants of later on when somebody's trying to get to $25 million. If you haven't even dealt with your attitude about what's the definition of your business, why are you in the business, how much of it's about you versus building value, how much of it is resilience and having an exit strategy, how much of it's about the corporation and the customers and the product versus you. Right back from when it was $1 million, you can see the germs, you can see the hint of, you know, problems to come in what people do when they're trying to shoot for $1 million. In the advisors they have or don't have, in the lack of an advisory committee at all, not having an accountant, not having a CPA, you can see a hint that somebody is going to be focused a little too much on themselves and not really taking advice. All right, so that's done because most of you are past $1 million. But think back. If you had that in your history, that's my point, because maybe you have a habitual pattern of it being more about yourself than you want to admit. So you have more to let go of than you want to admit. So the next wall often happens at about $5 million. Take an IT firm, a systems integration firm. Classic problem is at $5 million. And you have about 25 employees. You have a handful of people on your management team. Often they've been homegrown. And you've got some tough decisions about how can you go after bigger accounts? How can you go after national? How much debt should you be taking on? Should you be bringing on your first actual real controller over somebody who's just an accountant? Should you be actually bringing on your first real professional experienced sales manager over some of the folks that that's going to scare? Should you be thinking about having a marketing director instead of a marketing coordinator that's shuffling paper? You got some big decisions that. Now, again, what's the identity of the business? What's the purpose of the company? And a lot of people, the reason that $5 million is a wall is by then, the owner of the business lives in the house on the hill overlooking the lake, and they have a nice car, their kids' tuition is being paid off, and they become risk adverse. So they really are reluctant to have anybody tell them what to do. And there's a coasting that happens. There is a, I don't know if we really want to do this. I'm not sure I'm going to have enough money. I don't know. Let me live with this management team for a while. And that plateau is not market-driven. That plateau is not financially driven. That plateau is a resistance around what's going on with the president of the company and whether or not they're going to let go enough to truly become a CEO. Are they going to drive the business? Is it going to grow, or is this going to stay an incorporated career? Okay, now, again, our listeners, you've already lived through this, but how did you do it? How much pain did you go through? How long did you stay stuck? Because some of those people may still be working with you, and they have an institutional memory of what happened when the last time the company hit a plateau. Did you or didn't you take advice? How did you go about it? How hard were you to reach? You know what I mean by reach? How hard was it to get through to you, to get you to listen? Did you listen to the CPA? Did you listen to outside consultants? Did you consult the attorneys? Did you think about expanding at least to have an advisory board? Oh, but no. Usually what happens is people don't even take an advisory committee at $5 million. And what happens is, by lack of dealing with it, somehow the question gets called by a handful of people, you know, resigning and saying, look, I can do this faster than you are. You're not really growing. Who are you kidding? You're slowing down. You're holding back. I'm out of here. So the company drops back to 18 people. All right, now you got to really face it. You didn't deal with it. And de facto, a handful of people leaving makes you face it, even if you don't want to. Although I've seen some people deny it even then, and they start incrementally hiring right back to 25, only to implode. But let's say you actually dealt with it, and you went, oh, my God, I lost a couple of my key people. That's not all right. I mean, I really need this business. And, okay, I get it. I'm going to have to bring in a sales manager. Oh, okay, I get it. I'm going to have my controller. When you did it, then what? What was the next pattern? Did you start building an advisory committee? Did you look at having a board of directors change? Because even if you had the official board that met once a year that was talking about, yep, we're still in business, yep, we still have the same ownership pattern, and you fill out the form and then go have drinks, or did you have real board meetings? Did you actually early on, when the company was much smaller, face this? See it? Okay, fast forward again. Now your business is growing, and by the time you're at about $25 million, which is the next wall is at about 25. I think the passage that people need to, that the leadership of an organization needs to be really facing. Are you going to look at, you know, the market dynamics? Are you going to learn how to build value for real? Are you going to get past yourself and not have you be the defining element of the business? Are you going to be able to take advice even when somebody has to tell you something you don't want to hear? Is between 5 and 25 million. And I like seeing people bring on boards of directors sooner, but a lot of people don't want to do that. All right, now, so what triggers it? Before the $25 million mark, sometimes it's triggered because you go out after venture capital. And it's forced on you. That's one of the reasons it's forced on you, frankly, is because if somebody else is ponying up a bunch of money and taking some chances and not just you, they want to have a say. So it's built right into the deal. And the people who are resistant, the CEOs, well, the presidents, let's call them presidents because they're really not acting like CEOs at that time, the presidents who would say, I don't want their advice, I don't want to have venture money because they want to sit on the board and I don't want to give them so many board seats. Well, why not? Why not? What would the venture capitalists say? What would they be talking about? They want to have a return on their investment. Tell me what's so wrong with that? Now, if they compromise, you know, the focus of the business for short-term gain. Yeah, that's a problem. But you can argue about that. You can have a decent discussion about that. That's a really good tension to have to figure out what's the best way to play it. I've actually seen some very good business strategies come from the advice that is one of the best benefits of having, you know, some of these VC firms come on board is to get the input and the objectivity and the focus on building value that might have been missing before. I've also seen some VCs, when they put someone on the board, one of their biggest agitations is they feel like they were sold a bill of goods. When the company came to them and said, we're a real aggressive firm and we want to really grow and we're hot and we're this, we're wonderful, and give us some money and we'll continue to grow. And then as soon as they get the money, the company starts to slow down and get conservative. The biggest complaint I hear from VCs, I've been brought into some venture capital companies where they actually bring us in to help the clients. They say, we gave them money and now they're getting squeaky, they're getting conservative. We need you to help them spark their growth, start thinking entrepreneurial again. And yes, it's about their return on investment, but it's also the frustration that they don't think that they can get through to the presidents of the company that they gave money to, which is a horrible feeling. That kind of relationship that gets eroded is difficult. It isn't just about the ROI, it's also about the relationship. They thought they were buying in for a long-term relationship. Living through that transition, it's before $25 million. I think it's after 10 and before 25. That gives you a lot of range. That's really a time to be serious about who's on your board of directors. And look at it, because most companies go through that period of time where the only people they put on it, they will put on a brother, they will put on the CPA, maybe, they will ask a banker in the community, but what are you really wanting from them? What do you really want your board to do? maybe they'll have an industry expert, but there's hesitance to even do that because you wouldn't want to have your competition know what you're doing. So there's that whole dilemma of what is the purpose of the board. So this show, we're going to be talking about what's the purpose of the board at different stages of the business. Where do you go to get some help to recruit? What are you really looking for in the board members? Where are some sources for people that you might not be thinking about? Because there's a lot more folks than just your cousin and your brother and you know, your CPA. A lot of times it's not good a good idea to have your CPA on your board because you already have them consulting with you and giving you advice, and you have that input. It doesn't necessarily, it's not necessarily value-added to have them on the board. When you, would you be thinking about some of your key people that when you finally dealt with the membership of your management team, which ones are really key to the style of your business, then they have an equity position and deserve to sit there. Some of it's legally driven. If they are, you know, they have an equity stake, they're a part owner, why aren't they on the board? So there's some things that you kind of get forced to do based on your decisions about who's giving you money and who is technically an owner with you, who is a partner. Now, one thought I'd have before we go to a break to introduce our guest. When I watch board behavior with some mid-sized companies, take the ones that are at about 20, 25, the thing I see that they do the most often that gets them into trouble is that they blur the purpose of the board of directors and the management team. Management team is a day-to-day operations. That is the implementation of strategy. Management team is also recommending strategy to the owners. Management team is clarifying progress, reporting on the trends. It's like they're staffing the board in a lot of cases. And the board of directors is the one that has the responsibility to say, how much financial risk are we willing to take? How, in other words, how much debt are we willing to take on? How much risk are we willing to do? How aggressive does the growth plan have to be for it to make sense? Which target markets are we really going to accept? They can get their information from the management team. They can get it from a lot of places. But the actual, yep, this is what the major, major, major strategies are. How big, how fast, how much risk is the board of directors. That's the owners. And there's, you know, there's an overlap between the definition of owners and boards. Obviously, you can have some people on your board that are not owners. My point is there's a difference between what the management team does and what the owners and board do. Big difference. We could layer on the family business side of things and have to ask yourself what the Family Business Council does, but that's a whole other question. I just want you to start thinking about what's the difference between your management team and your board. And that needs to be in place before you hit $25 million. The primary reason I want you to have it in place before $25 million is that wall is so stubborn. And let me give you some statistics before we go to the break. Only 5% of all the companies that have gone public since 1980 have hit the billion-dollar mark. And I think that's behind what a lot of people's growth plans are. You know, we're not just talking $200 million. A heck of a lot of you listening are really wanting a billion. And the two key walls, the two key chasms, the two key plateaus, whatever you want to call them, are at $25 million and $50 million. So here's a second stat related to that. The companies that passed the $50 million mark, what happens to them is they have exponential growth after they've hit 50. There's a new study by, I believe his name is David Thompson, and he wrote about Blueprint to a Billion, if you want a new book to read. It's excellent. Spent 3 years studying the pattern of the companies that made this jump. It is crucial to get through $25 million and $50 million. If you can't figure out how to accept openly objective advice by the $25 million mark, it becomes almost impossible to pass 50. And I don't think people are making the connection between this. So it's really important. So after the break, we're going to come back. I got a resource person that helps people find board members. Hey, cool. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the growth strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast-growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services and are already seeing profits, companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDANA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
More and more people are starting their day with informative, focused business talk. Top experts. Today's business issues. Voice America Business at voiceamerica.com.
Are you feeling slammed and suckered in today's stock market? If so, then you need to tune in to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, Jordan Kimmel will train you in what you can do to beat up the big boys on Wall Street, as well as share his secrets to success so that you can buy and sell like a profit-pumping pro. Grab the bull market by the horns and listen to Profitable Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business. You work hard, and you need to take time to relax and rejuvenate yourself. Travel is one of the most effective and gratifying ways to achieve this. Tune into Travel Connections with Judy every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. Your host, Judy Jackson, will teach you how you can enhance your lifestyle through travel. Travel Connections will also bring you the latest news on what's hot and exciting in vacation and travel trends. So tune in to Travel Connections with Judy every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time right here on Voice America Business.
Mind Your Business with Danielle Hampson talks about the nuts and bolts of starting, running, and expanding a business. From time management, leadership, sales, marketing, and customer service, to office management, using technology, business plans, accounting, taxes, and networking. Danielle and her expert guests share their years of experience on a variety of topics. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel for Mind Your Business with Danielle Hampson. Useful tips, authoritative advice, creative solutions, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Technology is only as good as its execution. On CIO Talk Radio, host Sung Jo Gal will interview CIOs, CTOs, and other decision makers about their insights in dealing with technology. Learn directly from these subject matter experts on how to get the best returns out of your investment in IT. Know ahead of time what problems and challenges you face in executing IT strategies in the real world. If you are a technology manager, consultant, or advisor, you cannot afford to miss out on what today's technology thought leaders have to say about today's most urgent IT issues. Listen to CIO Talk Radio with Sung Jo Gal every Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
The Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to The Growth Strategist. This is Aldana Ambler, and today we're talking about growing your business through having a really strong board of directors. And I have a resource person on the phone with us today. I try to have most of our guests be CEOs, so it's a peer-to-peer show. But every once in a while what I do is I try to bring in some resource people that I believe in, that I've seen people have success with, and I can comfortably say they know what they're talking about. And today I've invited Linda Resnick, who is the president of CEO Resources. Linda, you there?
Yes, hi there, Aldana.
Hi, lady. I'm glad. You know, you and I haven't had a chance to talk in a while. It's nice to, we did our rehearsal call, but you and I haven't been on the phone in a long time.
That's true. That's true.
We're
both too busy, I guess, right?
I guess that's what it is. You know, we're having fun with our clients.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell the listeners a little bit about CEO Resources, how long you've been in business, and what do you do?
Well, we've been in business since 1989, my goodness.
That sounds good.
Our business has always been working with small and mid-sized companies in high growth. And companies call us when they need to hire, when they need to hire new senior talent.
So you're recruiting? You're recruiters.
We're recruiters, we're executive search, what's called more like executive search firms,
yep.
Because we consult with the companies just like you consult, at a critical junction in their business growth when they need to add either a board member or a senior talent, and for some reason the CEO or the board chair, their network has gone dry, or it's out of their sweet spot.
They need to be confidential.
They have to expand where
they're looking, sure.
That's right. And sometimes, as we all know, you can network within your community, your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, and all that, but then there's a point at which that is not as effective.
No. I mean, that's not, you know, especially if you're trying to make a real board, you're trying to get real input. I mean, come on, you know, it's not
right.
just filling spots. Well, your company also does more than just help with board search. I mean, you've helped. I love the title of your book. What was it? It was like a big fish in a small pond.
A big splash. We want to make a big splash in the small pond.
Yeah.
Yes, I wrote that book almost 12 years ago.
Wow.
And what makes us unique is that we were founded and still specialize in working with companies that are either have absolutely no revenue but investments from venture capitalists through $200 million.
Yep.
And
which is why I've asked people to work with you, because
that's right.
You know, there's times they need this.
Yeah, and it's and it is unique, as you explained earlier. Our niche has been to obviously fit the people into the right stage and help, and we often need to find people to be on boards or on the management team who have that combination, that blend of corporate and entrepreneurial savvy.
Now, what any industries that you guys have specialized in over the years?
Yeah, it's mostly entrepreneurial technology companies, information technologies, biotech. Mm-hmm. But then we get pulled in because we get pulled into other more common industries like financial service industries because we're well known for working with a smaller organization.
I actually find that some of the technology companies are more receptive to real boards.
Well, they often have to be because they're into such fast growth, and they often want to attract venture folks.
Yeah, even if they didn't want to, they had to learn how.
They are, if they're going to take the money, they're going to have to pay the price, right?
Yeah.
They
yeah.
need to behave. They have to behave like they want to look in the future.
In some ways, it's a blessing to them that some other industries don't have. I find manufacturers, for example, need outside input sooner than they normally get it. Professional service people don't do it often enough, right?
That's true. That's true. And closely held companies like small distribution companies that may be under $50 million, closely held family businesses, are a little leery of having somebody look over their shoulder. That's what they think. They don't look at it as this is going to bring value. They look at it, oh, another something to manage. Someone's going to tinker in my business. Stay away.
And what do they think, you know, your experience with this, what do you think they're afraid of? I mean, tinker with what, or over their shoulder to tell them no? I mean, what do you find?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, they may have to answer to the strategy. They may have to answer to how money is being dispersed.
God forbid we'd have to be held accountable.
That's right. They may have to be met. One of the main board responsibilities is to evaluate the CEO.
See, that's why I think it's about the identity of the business, because if, you know, the president of the business is actually there, especially a family business. You and I have seen this a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the purposes of the business is to actually be a charity or a welfare organization to pay for people that really couldn't get a job someplace else. I hate to be negative, but I've seen some family businesses where there's a daughter or a son that's being carried on the payroll that anywhere else would be fired.
Yes,
and the
sure.
And the parent knows it, and if they put a board member on there that questions it, they don't want to get into that discussion.
Yeah, well, I'm dealing with a family-owned company right now who added to their board. They have just made the $100 million mark and decided that for them to grow to $500 million, they wanted to put people on their board. They wanted outside influence.
Good for them.
And they needed it. And they picked companies that they thought were aligned to their philosophy on how they manage their people, which was very interesting. So they picked exemplar companies. And because they were such a principled, kind of interesting company, they were able to attract some of the CEOs from companies you would never expect to want to be on $100 million board.
At one point, some people think that they wouldn't be able to attract anybody really good anyway. They almost have an inferiority complex, and so they recruit too low.
That's true. I would say one of the kind of key advices I would give is aim high.
Yeah.
A lot of people want, I mean, even though there's a little bit of a scare technique right now, scare because of Sarbanes-Oxley,
right.
And even privately held companies are trying to behave and have processes that are similar.
But it's not.
There are
it's
others.
Not required as the same.
No,
it isn't the same.
No, it isn't required, but a lot of companies are emulating or
right.
are looking at those kind of controls and
well, it's a good idea
wanting
to
be a big company, you got to start somewhere, right?
So well, you know what? One of the things I've recommended to the family businesses is if they actually have this a secondary purpose of the business to be, you know, a place for somebody to work that maybe is between jobs, anything like that, they can deal with that as a like a foundation. They can deal with it as a council, a family council
Absolutely.
Kind of a purpose. There's a lot of ways to do that and make it official without it being something that messes up the core operation of the business.
One of the things that we can all learn from, and I've learned from the banking industry, is that they often had very official advisory boards that they would select from the community. They'd get to know those folks pretty well, and that could be then a feeder system to get them onto the board.
I've noticed that with the hospitals.
Yeah. And
they
have an awful lot,
like some of them have 4 and 5 advisory boards.
And that's a nice way to make sure, because one of the concerns that a CEO might have is, I don't want to give over control completely.
Mm-hmm.
How well do I know that person? And that's why they often limit who's on the board to people that they know who may not be able to help them make that big stretch.
So how much control or say does, you know, a single board member have in your
state? Well, you know, it's like any group, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There are some cantankerous folks. I went to a meeting where it was a small public company, very small, $25 million public company in the manufacturing area, where the stockholders actually had a hostile kind of takeover on the board. I mean, this is quite interesting.
Well, you put a troublemaker on a board, it can be terrible, even if...
Well, they didn't want to.
A very
but they didn't want to. They just got, you know, they were able to kind of jerry-rig that whole process,
wow.
and they got
And yet,
on the
I've seen the reverse, too, where someone gets so nervous that someone who has, like, a 2% share
Absolutely.
Is going to have so much control. Well, that's just not true. They could be obnoxious.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you vote, they always get voted down anyway, so who are you kidding? And they're not on there forever. It's not like, you know, they have tenure.
No,
people
can you can create, you know, the policies as you need to, and
yeah.
I mean the main thing is to get advice about you know, from some other leader, and bring in some independence so that you're not just rubber stamping it.
Yeah.
But the chemistry has to be right, and so you have to know the person. I'll give you an example.
Yeah, give me an example. Like
yeah,
let me
give you
$5 million company. What was
yeah,
the
well,
size
give me,
of the
yeah.
Well, you know, how many people are we talking about?
Well, a $25 million company, they only have 5 people on the board.
Mm-hmm.
3 are insiders and 2 are outsiders.
That's what
and
I see, too. There
yep,
you go.
And they're trying to get to the state of kind of reversing that and increasing it to a 7-person board with a majority of outsiders. And that's the trend in public.
Mm-hmm.
In the bank that I worked in, they were a small public, a community bank.
Mm-hmm.
They were small, but they were very profitable.
Mm-hmm.
I had worked with them to bring in a CFO who would be succession planning to the CEO. And after talking to them and working with them for a while, it became clear that they had, you know, an 8-person board, all male. This is a good example of a diversity issue. All male, all had been community leaders.
Mm-hmm.
All were more financial.
Yeah.
And what we all decided after talking a while was they really needed somebody who was a good marketeer out of their sweet spot.
They needed a different perspective.
Different perspective, and they wanted someone who was a CEO of a company because the other members were at that level, and they chose to look for a female CEO that would also diversify the board because the majority of their employees were females.
Well,
it was a
thought.
Wonderful.
I mean,
process.
Most people don't even see it.
Yeah.
Now, before you know, we're going to go to a break. But one of the things I want you to think about, so when we come back, you know, what are we really expecting? What do the board members do? What's the job description? What are we really looking for? And then we'll talk about how we find them. This is the Growth Strategist with Al Don Ambler. We'll be right back.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the growth strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast-growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
When business is in your blood and you need answers, get connected. Call 1-866-233-7861.
Are you looking for a unique perspective on today's market from an experienced economist? Well, look no further. Listen to The Economic Contrarian with host Mike Norman every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Business America Radio. Mike and his guests will discuss new trends in the marketplace, as well as emerging companies and opportunities. So if you want in-depth analysis from a contrarian point of view, don't miss The Economic Contrarian Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time right here on BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Why is Pepsi cooler than Coke? Why are iPods so popular? In 2005, how can you launch a successful brand? Want to know? Learn about the fascinating and intriguing world of graphic design and branding on Design Matters with Debbie Millman. Every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time, Debbie Millman will provide you with a provocative look into the stimulating world of design as it intersects with contemporary culture. Hear what the experts have to say about creating, maintaining, and launching a brand in today's challenging marketplace. Join us every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time for Design Matters with Debbie Millman, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
You hear business show after business show all geared towards improving a company's bottom line. But what about your bottom line? How come no one ever talks about that? Finally, a show dedicated to the worker, The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, The Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, The Crow Show is aimed specifically at the worker and their environment. From work skills and technology to dealing with bosses and coworkers, The Crow Show will give you insight on how to survive and prosper in today's workplace. The Crow Show with Paul McLaughlin, The Work Wonk. Heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk, BusinessAmericaRadio.com.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to The Growth Strategist. This is Aldana Ambler, and today we're speaking with Linda Resnick of CEO Resources. And our topic today is about boards of directors. And we're particularly saying that it's important to have your board of directors, to have a board of directors by about that $25 million mark, because it really is quite a statement about your business if you've been resisting it to that point. And it's awfully hard to get past the $50 million wall if you don't have a decent board of directors. So we're focusing on that sweet spot. And Linda's company, you know, is an executive search firm, and some of the assignments that they get asked to do are to find board members for companies. Now, they're larger companies, too. It's not just the small size. But I'm just focusing there for today to make sure that those people, you know, kind of figure this out. Now, what do you find, you know, I guess I'd like to ask you, Linda, in your experience, what's the real responsibility of the board member? You know, like, what's the job description? What do they ask for?
Well, this is a governance role. It's to oversee the strategy and planning of the company. Mm-hmm. It's to look at the risk that the company is facing. Mm-hmm. It's to deal with the integrity and ethics issues. It's to measure performance to make sure that performance kind of is aligned with the goals. Mm-hmm. It's to
look at the goals.
It's to look at the goals. It's to evaluate the compensation and evaluate the top line employees.
Now, do you think they do the whole management team or just the
no?
CEO
usually, here? just the head of the CEO.
Yeah, that's why.
And
I
then think. any kind of transformative transactions like acquisitions or mergers or things like that, they can help with. And usually there are about five committees. And you really want somebody with expertise to work on those.
Mm-hmm.
One is the audit committee.
Mm-hmm.
There's obviously there could be an executive committee. The nominating committee that helps to set the goals for who you bring in and how long the tenure is. The governance committee, which is kind of could be the executive committee. And compensation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bare minimum.
Sometimes
the same person sits
on
a lot.
Yeah, I've wondered a lot of times, you know, where is the marketing, you know, research or marketing or sales-related function for the board? Sometimes that seems to be like, how come you didn't think of that, you know?
Well, they would be a CEO of a company that has that as a strength. It's not a kind of independent kind of function. So
I guess I say that because so many boards, like you just said before the break, so many of them may have the financial depth, which mm-hmm. people think is wonderful for Sarbanes-Oxley, but then it's a unilateral perspective. You know, where's the balance of somebody who's got operational expertise or somebody else that's got marketing and sales?
Well, look at GE's board now. I was just looking at their annual report, and General Electric has two female CEOs, actually, who run agencies. Advertising agency and a PR agency, one of the bigger ones.
Well,
but nevertheless,
I risk my case, then.
There you go.
Yeah.
But you know, they also have 17-member boards and
right.
all kinds of other things.
Yeah, I guess it's at that size that they.
But
do
it's
that.
Really, it's not just the you know, it's what do you as a company need? What's
yeah.
the stretch that you need to take? We worked with a small venture-backed company.
Mm-hmm.
They were replacing the CEO. Because they needed to take it to the next stage. It actually was a biotech company.
Mm-hmm.
And they needed to clean up the board because it had all of these people who put, you know, like little money in at
yeah.
the beginning.
Yeah.
And so they had a board of 9 people, somebody from the university, somebody who had done the technology, who had created the initial technology, and then 3 venture capitalists. And so they were, with this new CEO, they chose to bring in 2 new people.
Yeah.
One was an early retiree out of a major pharma company
mm-hmm.
who was good at business development. He knew everybody, and they knew they needed to do deals. So he was a real deal guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one was a CEO of a company that was more advanced and had gone public.
See, you know, sometimes, like that, those examples, it sounds like those their businesses are really looking for real advice. Sometimes I feel like some people are only doing eyewash improvements to their boards to kind of seem like they're
yeah.
progressive. Like they'll do diversity. They'll, you know, make sure that it's representative of the different ethnic groups that are in their community and then not listen to the people they put on it. And that's
yep.
kind of amazing that somebody would bother to do that in some ways. Because, you know, you can find people of different ethnic backgrounds, male and female, young and old, et cetera, et cetera. They can also give good advice. It doesn't have to be eyewash.
That's true. That's
are
true.
Are you finding less of that or more of that?
I'm still finding that, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's still kind of,
like what
not everybody wants to be, not everybody, you and I might be interested and some of your listeners might be interested in learning and growing and pushing themselves and
yeah.
looking at themselves and, but not every group is like that.
Well,
and
what do they
sometimes
how
they
do they
put
benefit?
On people they know well. They put
well,
on people
they
know.
From putting on something that's just superficial? What do they get? What does it buy them?
Well, if they're a public company, it looks good, right? So they must have independent people on the board. So they're bringing in non-threatening people who won't, but it will look all right. So it's window dressing.
So what they really want is somebody that meets a diversity quota by
or
image.
Something.
And
or
shuts
something
up.
Else.
And
or
shuts
just,
up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you ever asked, like when somebody says, I want to have you find me the following kind of person, and you really can tell they're just looking for eyewash?
Oh, sure.
Whatever you want to call
those
them.
Ones I don't take on. I don't
you
need
don't?
To have those.
God bless
no.
you.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's what happens with the years of experience, 20 years in this world.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to be wasting your energy. I don't need to do that. They can do that on their own.
See, one of the things that concerns me about women is that we're still on too few boards, and the concern
yeah.
I have is the specs that a company would give someone like yourself, and they'll say, you know, I want a woman exec who's been a CFO for 10 years, in this industry has, you know, and they start listing all the things she had to have done, and it's a setup because there's nobody that did that.
Yes, I know. And there's quite a bit of double standards. Well, you know, what happens is that specs are not what often is the hiring decision. So you really need to work with the board. You need to spend time with each board member to understand who they are mm-hmm. as part of the process. Mm-hmm. Then you need to bring the, they may give you a spec, but that's not the spec you use.
Yeah.
You know, you got to find out what they really need. What do they really need? What do they really want? And what is the culture? Because the person, no matter what, you know, whether male, female, whatever, has to fit in or be able to complement the group mm-hmm. that exists.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't want to have it be set up like that.
I've been told from some CEOs of companies that the reason they don't have, say, women business owners, you know, like myself, that, you know, I've had a lot of employees and I've won a lot of awards, et cetera, and, I've been asked, you know, how come you're not on more boards of directors? And I'll get the answer back. They're really looking for financial background. Well, if you've run your own business and you've done profit and you've done an ESOP and you know how to do acquisitions and all this stuff, how much financial background are they really looking for?
Well,
you know, what
probably
like?
Are looking. What the most sought after board person these days is somebody who's been through a major accounting firm and can really be the head of the audit committee to protect them, you know, and to oversee the risk on the Sarbanes-Oxley. So when they talk about that, they're talking about real financial kind of due diligence that they want.
Well, the irony is
but
they,
that's
also,
one
but they also have the CPA firm that's still doing the auditing.
Yeah, but another
right.
firm is doing the auditing. But that's
right.
just one position out of,
that's my
you know,
reason.
Nine, seven, mm-hmm. whatever.
And
what are the other people? Who are the other people on the board? And why did they get there? And often it's just a network. It's your community who you feel comfortable with. The bank that I mentioned had people who had played golf together on the board.
Now, what are they? You know, what are the companies looking for? Are they looking for the board of directors people to bring in leads for business? Are they looking for them to bring money? Are they looking for them to negotiate with the governor or use their influence to change?
Each company is different.
But there are,
as I
like
mentioned,
that.
There are those that really want a high-flying profile to get access
mm-hmm.
to either more capital or clients,
mm-hmm.
you know, money, cash,
yeah.
kind of business deals. I haven't seen those many that were tremendously political because those are not positions that we would be searching for. We would be searching for
yeah.
somebody who has some critical skill that they need.
Yeah, I was going to say, when do they come to an
they
agency
haven't
like
had?
Yours?
Yeah, well, they won't. They'll come like this venture-backed company when they need
right.
to bring somebody in who's the CEO, or with this bank who needed to bring in someone who came out of their community, who wasn't in their community already,
yeah.
to change it and to bring in an expertise in marketing that was.
Gotcha.
You know, the $100 million financial software company mm-hmm. brought in a CFO from a bigger company to sit on their board.
Mm-hmm.
But they also brought in somebody who was the president of a smaller company that was also voted a best company to work for because that's their value proposition.
Gotcha.
And they also have somebody like yourself who's a human resource expert as well as kind of business expert because that's what they value. So when you take a look at the boards,
yeah.
you can look and see what they value
yeah. I mean,
and where they're
the
going. I mean,
you read the strategic plan and, you know,
yeah.
what's the culture, and it's also, you know, what they're missing as well.
Yeah.
Now, talk
to me
a little bit about compensation. You know, let's say somebody is asked to be on a board of a $25 million company. What should they
It's expect? All over the place.
That's what I thought you'd say.
It's I wish I could give you a good, fast
That's
answer.
That's what I'm saying. It is all over the place.
If it's a public company, it's a combination of cash and equity, which you then sometimes have to purchase a certain amount of shares every year.
Yeah.
If it's a private company, it often is cash.
Well, back up for a second. Is it ever a cost to the person to be on the board?
Well,
they have to buy.
Sometimes they do have to.
Yeah.
In some of the plans, they do have to. They get access to purchasing shares,
mm-hmm.
but they have to, you know, buy.
I had an
shares.
Offer like that where somebody was saying, "I want you on the board," and essentially, the deal was they were so proud of the access to their stock that that's that's what they thought was going to be valuable and was going to cost me a couple hundred thousand dollars to be on the board.
That's a big investment.
Yeah,
I don't know about that. Right now in larger companies, they're only wanting people on their boards who are on no more than three boards because it takes so much work. And in
how
that
much
case,
work does it take?
It takes a lot of work if you're doing it right. Say it's a quarterly meeting, and say there's a quarterly board meeting, and then there's committee. You're on a committee. So you could have a monthly commitment.
Yeah.
You've got to read. You've got to stay up to date. You have to make yourself available to the CEO for advice. You have to meet and deal with some of the questions that come up. And you are taking a risk right these days, too, you know, in terms
and they need
of
to be insured.
Financial and insurance, insure a risk.
Yeah.
Some board assignment seats are over $100,000 that you get in cash. And now the trend has been to not only have a annual fee, but to pay for your involvement in different committees. So you might get, you know, a couple of thousand for chairing a committee and, a little bit more every attendance.
Now,
so
I need to go to a break. But what I want to talk about next is, you know, where do people look for the people that they want to have on a board, okay? We're going to be right back. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast-growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Business information you need. From the stock market to starting and managing your business. Voice America Business at VoiceAmerica.com.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler, and today I'm interviewing Linda Resnick of CEO Resources. And before I go even any further, Linda, would you give some contact information for your company? Because people who are listening and care about recruiting a decent board member, they're going to want to call you or connect with you on email. Which one do you want to give?
I'll give both.
Oh, cool. Go for it.
CEO Resources. Our email address is www.ceoresources.com. And we're in Philadelphia, 215-209-3065.
So if somebody in Germany is looking for somebody in the United States to be on their board, they should.
Well,
we have people all over the world. You're going to get some calls from, you know, you never
That's
know where.
Fun.
So.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
It is a flat world out there.
And to remind people about how to reach me, if you know my name, you can reach me by email. It's Aldana, A-L-D-O-N-N-A, at Ambler, A-M-B-L-E-R.com. And the website is thegrowthstrategist.com. And the phone number is 1-888-ALDONA. So I probably am going to get some calls about this. This show seems to have just evaporated. It goes really quickly. It's a big topic. My primary question I want to ask you before we wrap up the show. Okay, now, let's say somebody, a CEO, is determined. They've really decided they're going to grow up. They really want to get serious. They're going to take objective advice. They want a real board. Where can they look?
Well, first of all, they go to some of the advisors that they've used before. I mean, you have an accountant, you have a lawyer. Most firms have that, if nothing else. And then they say, well, you know, who do you know, right? And often the accounting and law firms are very happy to share information to help their clients build a board. So that's number one.
Right. And I get asked that a lot. Like my clients will say to me, you've been working with us on our strategic plan. We're ready for a board. Tell me who we can trust because you know us.
Yeah, and that's mm-hmm. And so recently we got a call because one of the law firms, one of the partners, called and recommended us to go talk to a CEO
okay.
about a board. So that's the first place to start.
Right. Okay.
Once a board is formed, then the next thing that occurs is that the members of the board, once they decide there's a need for something else,
mm-hmm.
right, they need more, they may then recommend other people that they know.
Okay.
And then the third step usually is when that does not seem to be producing an independent or as high level a referral,
mm-hmm.
then they go to a search firm like ourselves.
Right. Okay.
And
I'm
also,
there's also some other organizations. I mean, for example, if somebody has decided they really want to have a female executive on their board, Catalyst
yeah.
can help with some of that.
Right, the Forum of Executive
right.
Women in Philadelphia, you mean, that has an association where you can actually
yeah.
get some referrals for women. You know, you can talk to your head of the chamber. There's a lot of ways to do it through networking
and
through other associations.
Called like the in New Jersey, it's called the New Jersey 300. The Committee
right.
of 200 is an organization.
That is New York, yeah.
And these are well-heeled women. These are people who are successful. They're not all entrepreneurs. I mean, you know, it's a whole range of women that are ready, that have been screened.
And it's not just
you know?
For women. I mean, it's just like if you were to look for, if you're a company that's listening to this program,
mm-hmm.
look and see who some of your competitors have on the board and get some ideas about what types of people they are. It might
mm-hmm.
give you an idea.
Well, like what GE just did.
That's
I mean,
right.
I think. Sure. I mean,
you're
why
right.
they do that? They can't mess around and have some dummies sitting on the board.
Right. And so you just are going to get some ideas and you're going to reach out.
Right.
And then
and what do they be careful about? I mean, you're screening. You're watching for certain things to say, no, that's not a person to recommend. What do you tend to screen out?
Well, first of all, you have to know, you know, you have to be concerned that someone is legit, you know, and by that I mean, have they done what they said they've done?
Yeah.
So a lot of due diligence on their past history.
Yeah.
You need to do references that are extensive.
Mm-hmm.
And because this is because of this governance issue and legal ramifications, you have to find out whether there's any credit, criminal, any kind of thing that could come to bite you.
Yeah.
Then you need to make sure that the board and the committee gets to know this person really well to find out, really, to get to know them so they feel comfortable with the person that they're adding.
I watched a candidate get kicked off the list because they had a brother who had done something criminal.
Oh, that's interesting.
I thought that was a little bit too much.
That might be a little bit too
I
much.
I think it is.
Well, who knows what else was going on in that meeting, you know?
True. But, no, that's the reason. And it wasn't even a big thing. It wasn't like they killed somebody. I mean, it was a,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was a minor thing when he was a young guy.
Well, we often present like 3 to 5 candidates and have the board meet them individually and then in group
mm-hmm.
and listen to the feedback.
Yep.
And some people just don't kind of work for the situation.
Yep.
And not that they're not good and they're not reputable and all that. They just don't fit.
Well, some people are so into their ego that they won't really relax enough and focus on the company. They remember that the primary thing they're doing there is to grow that business.
Yeah, and then sometimes companies want a big name player that doesn't have to do anything just to use their name. So it's all a marriage of needs.
It depends on what you want.
That's right. It depends. It's a, you know...
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on what you want. And the
yeah.
biggest thing is that any CEO needs to get the most out of their directors. Right now, I have this young CEO client, and his board is really helping him build a strategy
mm-hmm.
very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
And this young man who is talented wouldn't have been able to do all this
yeah.
without this outside.
Well, good for him. You know, one of the things I see, especially if it's around the $25 million mark, I find that this sounds awful, but there's a growing up. You know what? We're playing serious now. This is going to be a real serious company. Our succession plan is going to make sense. We're going to have an agenda that is professional. There's a behavioral change that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an elegance. I find they start changing what they're wearing when it's a real board of directors. You know, they could have been, especially some of the techie companies, have a rough edge or whatever it is when it's a management team meeting. But boy, if it's the board of directors, then they know this is serious. This is about money. This is about risk. This is legal. This is ethics. There's a behavioral change, and it's important. Yeah, I really appreciate you being a guest. I'm going to have you repeat your contact information because I hope people contact you. Linda Resnick of CEO Resources can be reached at
215-209-3065. And our website is CEOResources.com.
Excellent. I appreciate being on the program, and my advice for everybody is I really want you to think about, as you're on this journey and going through these various walls, chasms or plateaus or whatever you want to call them, sometimes the purpose of the business is what you have to revisit, and it's mirrored in who you have on your board of directors. This is the Growth Strategist with Eldon Ambler, signing out.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into the Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of The Growth Strategist, right here on the bottom line of Business Talk, Voice America Business.